Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 522. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
We're always together.
A lot of the time. Earl is here.
I've got a license to kill, and it's aimed straight for your heart. I'm excited to talk about the news this week.
How are evidently.
You? Jeff is not here. He has issues.
Don't say it like that because then it's gonna make people think he does not have corona.
He is not feeling well.
Defective pooper is the official scientific term.
It has nothing to do. He does not have COVID. But he is sick. Which I mean, everybody already knew. So filling in for him is Walt.
Hello, hello. I have a PlayStation 5, and most of you don't. I just want to say that.
Ouch.
Half of the people on here do.
Earl didn't want one.
The only person you're making fun of here.
The only person here trying to get one is me.
What, didn't you get screwed the day of like the pre-orders? You were in meetings or something, you couldn't get through?
No, I was just like, remember pre-orders went weird for PlayStation.
That's right. We got them the night before the official.
So I was asleep when kind of everything went crazy. And then I wasn't feeling too bad about it because, you know, at the time, I'm still not feeling awful about it. But at the time when they went up, it was like, you know, you can get Miles Morales on PS4. You can get Sackboy on PS4. Like, the only real game is Demon's Souls. And everything else seems to be like cross-platform. I was like, I'm good. Like, waited the next week. Series X pre-orders went up. Got one of those. That came in before the PS5. I have it. It's nice. Very, very nice system. But then the PS5 launched. I was like, I kind of want one. Because you start hearing about the controller and Astro's Playroom. And just wanted to like play with it. So, but I've been trying now for the past week to get one unsuccessfully. Much like your brother whose card got flagged for fraud, mine did on Thursday, last Thursday as well, when it launched. Because I tried to buy one of the bundles off of GameStop, that it ended up being like over $750 or something, like for the total bundle. Mm-hmm. And my card was just like, no.
Sorry, but no.
I'm sure I understand why, because like, right, Amazon charged it $500 two days before, and now I'm going to be like, oh, and charge another $700 to this game store in the middle of the night.
Jeez.
Why not?
So they flagged that. So I didn't get the bundle that I had in my cart, and I've been unsuccessful at getting anything that I've gotten into my cart to actually check out, get even to the point where the card can deny. So,
I have another friend who's looking for it, and he did the Walmart thing today. Mm-hmm. And he sent me a screen cap. He got to the page where literally it's like the page where you put in all your information, you put in your card, and you just have to hit confirm. And he's like, the site just crashed out on him.
Yep.
And he could not pre-order it after that. And I felt so bad. Because really, it's just like place order. That's what he has to press.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't let him do it. I'm just like,
it's right when the bots come in waves when it crashes the site. Because that's what's happening right now, right? There's a lot of bots coming in and just crashing the shit out of the checkouts.
So this is my problem with not just Sony, also with Microsoft. Anybody trying to pre-order like this, Apple figured this shit out years ago. Like, they don't have this problem, and they sell 100 million phones a year.
Yep.
And because what they do is you go to Apple or you go to, you know, T-Mobile or whoever your provider is, and you go, I want an iPhone. And they go, okay. And they put you on a list. And so if the bots come in, they go, I want a PlayStation 5. Okay, we're putting you on a list. I want a PlayStation. Like, they'll just keep putting those bots on the list, and then they can remove them after everything is done, go all you know, there's 420 of these all going to the same address.
Maybe this is bad.
Yeah, yeah, chop them all off. Instead, it's like a fucking free-for-all every couple
hours. What Apple does is they're like, hey, you're ordering 50. Show us your merchant license. Right. You don't have one? Okay, we're canceling all of these. Have a nice day.
That's it too, right? Because like, you don't see them going up on eBay and like, we have a lot of 42 of these. Like, and there's like, you're not licensed to sell this shit, so we're not going to allow you to do it.
Exactly.
Exactly. And instead, it's just like a fucking free-for-all where now they're, you know, trying to get people to, and this is the other problem, people are paying it because otherwise they wouldn't be up there on eBay for $1,500, $1,600.
Yeah, they're actually making the situation worse. The same with the GPU cards on computers, right? Yep. I think the only reason Tony and I have one is because it broke early and we dived on it. And even then, it kept breaking and breaking. I think we both waited an average of about an hour, right, for the site to come in, and we got lucky. We had shit in the cart, and we checked out. I think that's how it went for both of us.
Yeah, no, it went real fast.
Yeah, but I still remember the process was like, I can't believe I got this fucking lucky.
Right.
And I know it's gonna be canceled any second now because they definitely took more pre-orders than they could. You know.
And that to me, I would rather take all the fucking pre-orders you want, and then fill them. Like, all right, so Tony got his in first. Tony's going to get his system first. Walt, you got yours in second. You get your second. I got mine in 3,240th. And, like, that's when I get it. Maybe I don't get it before Christmas, which is what a lot of people are trying to push for right now. Is like, look, I just want the system. Just give me a confirmation that I'm going to get the system. Because who knows when I can walk into a store and buy one at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't count that as an option at all right now.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. I heard that some stores like Target aren't even selling it in stores. Like they will have the stock, but you actually can't buy it in store. You'd have to buy it online to pick it up or something like that.
Correct. They're, Best Buy, all of them are ordered. They can't sell. They can't put tickets. There are no lines outside. You have to buy it online and pick up in store, period. There's no exception.
So I'm fine with
it. Yes.
I will drive up. You bring me my machine, put it in my car. I'm cool with that.
But I understand why. I've always understood why. But you also mentioned like a lot of people are trying to get it for Christmas. There is still like a month between now and then.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just trying to. So, because what happened? Because I had this happen with several friends where it's like, oh, I printed 2-3 consoles just in case I don't get it at launch. I'm like, okay, so that means that there's 2 or 3 other people who aren't getting theirs,
right?
Because you're holding one at Walmart, you're holding one at Best Buy, you're holding one at Games, just in case that somehow you don't like. I don't, as far as I know, none of them had canceled pre-orders. Like they're not going to cancel it; they're going to fill it as it comes. You might not get it day of, and I suffer from FOMO as well, but like console launches has never been one that I'm like, oh man. Like I will be honest, I've dicked around with the Xbox and the PlayStation 5 stuff just to see. Like, I think I mentioned I had the Xbox Series X in my cart, and I was like, I could get it, but I don't want it. So a lot of it is just that temptation, but I'm just like, I'm just kind of falling into the hype because I'll get it. It's like, oh, this is neat. I'm going to play the same game I'm going to play on my Xbox One right now.
Pretty much.
Right, but they'll be so much better on the new console. So much better.
Yes, but they're also cheaper on the current console.
Not necessarily. It depends on the game. And some of them you buy on the current console and get on the new one for free.
Yeah.
That's true.
Most of what I'm playing this year is game. Like, if there was, like, a big title that was like, oh, man, I need, like, early, when they did Halo Infinite, it just kind of accepted the wind out of their end-of-the-year lineup for me. Because they didn't really have anything to fill the void there.
Yeah, and they don't. Like, and honestly, if you are not, I mean, Spider-Man it fills the void on the Sony side, but you can also
like
play
5 minutes apparently.
Well, and also you can play it on the old consoles. It evidently runs like shit on them, but it is doable.
Shocker.
And then like if you're like Walt and like the Souls games, like Demon's Souls seems like an excellent choice. But
right now, I think objectively you can make a really strong argument that Demon's Souls is the only true next-gen game out right now.
I don't think there's an argument to be made. It's like there's no competition.
It's fantastic. It is absolutely jaw-dropping.
The only other one I would kind of make an argument for based off of impression seems to be that Astrobot game.
Yeah, for the controller, right?
Yeah.
That's a tech demo, which I spent a lot of time with. I actually told Tony, like, play that with your kids. It's an experience, dude. It really makes... solidifies the fact that the PlayStation 5 controller is a next-gen controller. That thing is jam-packed full of stuff, man. The stuff you can do on that thing, and it's not forced, right? It's not like the Wii and the Switch have great motion controls and stuff, but they're still kind of behind, in a sense, because they still rely on like infrared and stuff like that, right? This thing... like when you're walking through sand or water, you feel the steps. You feel like you're walking through sand or water. It's hard to explain, right? And then like even in games like Fortnite, there's a PS4 version and there's a PS5 version to download in the store now, right? When you get the PS5. The PS5 version is Fortnite on crack, right? It looks like a cartoon. It's smooth as hell, it's everything. When you're getting shot from the left or from behind, the controller identifies that on the controller itself, right? And when you pull trigger with different weapons, there's different tension on the triggers. It's an experience, man. I'm telling you, it's like it's almost like it's innovation that kind of feels like long overdue. Why didn't we evolve the Rumble into something like this?
I wonder how much, like right now, you know, like Fortnite's doing it, Call of Duty's doing it,
Demon's Souls is doing it.
But what, Demon's Souls first party, because it's coming out of Sony. But like, are third party games going to actually utilize it going forward, or is
apparently they made it easy because you can literally patch it into a game.
Sure, but are they going to make that effort going forward, like? Right now, Sony's like, yeah, do it. But is Assassin's Creed in 2 years going to have, you know, this extra controller support?
Yeah.
And that's always been the thing. Like, Sony's always had, like, weird shit with their controllers. Go back and look at the Vita. Remember, like, all the touch stuff? Like, that was really cool. Like, the games they made with the back touch screen and the front touch screen. But they were the only ones that did anything after the launch titles.
I would say that the Vita specifically, remember how you gripped it? It was a weird grip, and then they move fingers to touch the back panel and stuff like that, made it a little weird. With the controller, you're essentially not doing it. Well, the Astro demo makes you do weird things like blow into the mic, you know what I mean? and swipe on the analog stick, you know, to make figures and stuff. That's just a demo, right? But the actual games like Fortnite and Demon's Souls, they're not making you do something that's out of the norm in holding a controller. You know, the thing just feels alive in your hand.
Oh, I'm not saying like do weird. I'm not saying that they won't, like that they're going to. I'm just saying that I don't think they're going to even utilize like, oh, we're going to make different Rumble settings for each of the different guns in Call of Duty 2027, because who's actually utilizing it? Sony has a vested interest in making sure it's being used right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be being used, you know, at the end of this gen, or is it like that was a cool thing, but we're back to just doing regular controllers? Or is like Microsoft going to upgrade, you know, their controller to kind of pull in some of the stuff Sony's doing?
Yeah, I told Tony that the other night, like, I would love to see what the next gen Elite is going to be. I'm sure they're going to do something special with the next Elite controller for the Xbox, because you kind of have to, because the Series X controller and the Series S controller is just basically the same controller, just they finally fine-tuned a lot of things that was kind of overdue, right? The D-pad and the analog stick.
Right. I mean, they feel
way more responsive this time around.
Yeah, they gave you the you know, kind of the D-pad setup that's on the Elite controller.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some, like, little things here and there with it. But yeah, it's basically the same controller, and you can use the same controller you've been using if you want to.
Yeah.
On the system.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate.
Yeah, that's nice.
Especially in a year when a lot of people are just to scramble to get these things, but I doubt people are buying it in with like two extra controllers, five games. You know what I mean? Everyone's right. Kind of like, yeah, I'll take the bullet, but looking at the budget, you know, I kind of feel that's happening to a lot of people. Especially with like next year not looking that bright either. You know, everyone's like, fuck it, I'm at least have fun with this thing. You know?
Yeah.
But like, so I kind of appreciate what Microsoft did there. Because now old accessories kind of just transfer over, you know? And I don't know, that makes sense to me. I think that's a nice touch. So imagine you're like, damn, I really want a console, right? You get the Series S, right? It comes with a one controller, but your old stuff works. You know, you're set, you know?
Yeah, like I don't have to go out and buy another three controllers, you know, to play four player games with my kids, because I have those controllers already. I could just sync them to the Series X, and
even the plug and play stuff works. The rechargeable battery packs from last gen, they work perfectly.
So do batteries, regular batteries.
That is the Sony motto, but yeah, it's interesting. It's also weird. It's only been a week, but it does feel like forever for a lot of people. I think we're just so desperate to just be like they have one that I think a lot of people are getting praised about the fact that they haven't been able to get one. To your point, though, you're not the first person who's mentioned that. Like cell phone companies, like you said, Apple, Android, like you can order a Samsung Galaxy, you can order a Pixel, you can order, and you can order, like they sell tens of millions of them. You can order them, and usually it's not you're going to be like, okay. But I mean, I think the thing ultimately is like video games, consoles just don't like video game consoles take almost a decade to reach 100 million. So it's always an issue of inventory and just the fact that this is a lot more complex to build. Which is why I think you don't want to end up in a situation, I think, where you have 20 million units of a system nobody's buying. That's kind of where you end up with like the Dreamcast, where you could get for like, they would give you $50 back at some point. I'm joking. But like I got my Dreamcast for, I think, $50 with NBA 2K back in like a year after it launched, because it was just a system that was sitting there that nobody was buying.
Sure. And that's why I think, especially since right now, you know, we're doing online sales, like put it in, you put me on the list. You charge me when it comes through, and then they know how to manage their inventory at that point.
Yeah.
As opposed to the old fashioned way of, you know, Walmart goes, we need 300,000 consoles, or what, you know, whatever their amount is. And then they fisher them out to all their different stores, you know, three or four piece per store, so that, you know, their customers can fight over them. It's like
fight.
Yeah, it's just
And to be fair, you know, I don't, and not necessarily artificial shortages, but yes, there is a marketing strategy to like, oh, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X are now the hottest new item for Christmas. They're so hard. Because then you get the inset mentality where it's like, oh, I see one, I'm going to get it. But I think the big difference between that this year and any other year is like you don't have mom and dad going to Toys R Us or Best Buy on Black Friday because nobody's going to stores during, well, I'm not going to say nobody's going to stores, but
they're probably going to South Dakota.
The same mag traffic you would in a normal year. Yes. So there will be, but you aren't going to get that much traffic. You aren't going to get the same traffic.
But there's an argument that we made that Apple and all the other phone makers, they solidify the entire manufacturing process, right? They know exactly how much they can push out before even, you know, announcing a phone, you know,
which is why they can announce a phone and have it come out the same day.
Exactly, like because which is the difference. Remember, we also forget that when the year started, the announcements start coming down, and then all these factories that are trying to put these consoles together and ship them and get them through customs, they shut down for like months at a time.
Sure, yeah. But the same thing applies. Like those same factories also shut down for Apple.
I think the difference is Apple kind of like has that self like sufficient on their end. Yes, it's in the other side of the world, right? But they have all the materials, they have all the silicone chips, they have everything in house.
You know, but they don't like they're buying chips from like you know they have Samsung parts in their phone. Like they're also sourcing out from like it's very similar to how Xbox and Sony arrange. Yes, like they design them in house, but they are sourcing their chips and stuff from some of the same manufacturers.
But they're also like Apple, right?
Sure,
we're talking about
Microsoft and Sony. Yeah. Right? These aren't small companies.
But this is Apple, right? They're saying, "I need iPhone. You're going to convert 5 factory lines to just our shit for the rest of the year," and they have the money to throw that around.
I was also going to say, and maybe I also feel like because video games tend to get like cutting edge chips, which are literally just being mass produced for these devices.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Where like, it's, and like, I mean, one of the issues, I mean, and also why, like, that's why we tend to sometimes have high failure rates on systems is because these are chips that are being pressed and manufactured and made specifically for these devices. And
yes. Especially the PlayStation.
Like, yeah. So, and that's why, like, after year one, it tends to become easier because those chips are more readily available. But, like, at launch, these are, like, a lot of this stuff is very custom. You have to put it together very delicately. You know, like, I mean, the comparison to the iPhone and those devices make sense, but there's just a lot more moving parts in these different consoles. And honestly, hindsight being what it is, I understand what they're doing. I think having 2 SKUs also helps that because then you're also having to do 2 different setups. Like you're doing the same innards, but you know to set it up, one has to go get the disk drive, one. And then, so like, if you let's say, because I'm sure there are people who are like, oh, I want a PlayStation 5, but they probably are. I mean, I'm not going to get a digital. I want the, but let's say you get like 3-to-1. That means that there's for every 3, there's 1 system that's being made that you probably didn't want right that you can't buy right now because that's not the one you want.
Yeah.
And that's taking resources away from them making that inventory.
Or in my case, where it's, I want the digital system, and they're only making like 1 for every 9 that they're making of the physical versions. Yeah.
And before I forget, I wanted to throw one out in case anyone is trying to get one. The bundles at Costco, GameStop are your best bet. Just as soon as you see the alert online that they're selling, don't hesitate. Grab the 2 controller with the voucher for PlayStation wallet money, like $100, and I think the other one's like 1 year of PSN for like $689. I think is what I saw it at.
That was the bundle I tried to get today. It's not a like because it's not worthless. The camera is. I don't need the fucking camera.
Oh yeah, the camera. Throwing the camera. Yeah, but they're throwing the camera like, as well.
All right, whatever. I'm paying $60 over, and. You know, if Walt hadn't given us the code for or the site to buy a PSN for $30, I would need a PS Plus as well.
Yeah.
So whatever that adds on, like, this is going to be what a 6-7 year system. Having an extra year of PS Plus that I was going to pay for next year isn't horrible.
Yeah.
But that bundle also sold out pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. But that's the best bet to get them. Even the $889 one sold out, which is 2 games and all the other stuff we mentioned already. But that one, that's your best bet. Unfortunately, the $499 entry point is really fucking hard to get. But if you have that extra $200 to throw into the mix, you have a lot better chance.
Yeah, at that point, you're not playing with bots anymore. You're fighting against actual people because the bots aren't going to buy. You're not sending your bot out to buy an $800 bundle or a $650 bundle.
Yeah.
Or if you're a bot, it's probably set up differently. So the SKUs you wouldn't necessarily be able to. Yeah. The other thing I would mention, again, it's only been a week, is that like Black Friday is next week. So I also imagine some stores are holding back inventory so they'd have enough to actually sell online for Black Friday. Because you don't want to go into Black Friday and be like, oh, you can't get this system at all from our site. Yeah. You want to be at Target, Walmart, Best Buy, Circuit, I'll just say Circuit City.
Target,
There were people saying that Best Buy is saying that they're not going to have any stock the rest of the year, which I find crazy. Like, you bought all of your stock on day 1 and you sold it all? Like, you're not going to have anything for Black Friday? That
That seems unlikely.
Yeah, I'm going to check out your website anyway on Black Friday, just in case.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it, I'm not buying anything.
That's going to be your best bet, because Black Friday, like, for the rest of us who aren't looking for a console, we're just trying to get, like, Link's Awakening for $30, for example. This site's going to crash, because people are going to be trying to get the PlayStation all day long, you know?
And so, then you're going to miss your opportunity to get Link's Awakening, because the site keeps crashing.
I would also say, just, you know, expertise in online shopping for Black Friday. Like, especially in the years past, Black Friday does not start on Friday. Black Friday starts Wednesday night. You want to start looking at those websites like Wednesday night, because they'll start putting up those deals. And that's when you want to jump on, because everybody else is going to do it Friday. So Wednesday night around 11 Eastern midnight, that's when a lot of those deals go live. And, you know, I know people don't necessarily support them. A lot of Amazon tends to price match their own price for a lot of these things as well. So
And Amazon also does something. They do the lightning deals.
Yes. So
they're smart, and they keep your eyes on their site all day long. Because, we're sending up a lightning deal. That'll be up in 30 minutes. It's this thing you want.
Or if you're not shopping for it and you know you're going to buy something that day, they usually advertise at what time the console's going to be available on their sites.
Yeah.
Shop before or after. You know, don't try to get shopping, because it's going to crash. It doesn't matter what you have in your checkout. The bots are going to crash that site.
Oh, I'm sure anybody that was trying to shop on Walmart, like, for just regular random shit today at 3 o'clock, their shit crashed too. Like, they weren't able to get their toilet paper or whatever they were ordering.
And that's what happened to my brother's situation, right? He had it in his inbox. Everything was going, because it crashed the Visa debit card provider, whatever. They're like, hey, why didn't this securely connect? This is fraud. And they canceled the order out when it came back. You know, so there's a lot of that stuff's going to happen during this little next. What is it? How many weeks we have? Like 4 or 5 weeks till Christmas, something like that?
Yeah, if it'll be 4 weeks next week.
Oh, God.
That's close. A lot of that's going to happen leading up to it, because it's people like, look, I've done it. I'm sure you guys have done it. We've purchased stuff online just to try and feel better, you know? I've been doing that a lot.
Don't need to call me out on here.
We all retail. We all do retail therapy.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never do such a thing.
Thank you. Look, I have a electronic pencil sharpener on my desk now, because I was like, you know what? I miss the smell of pencils. And I bought one, and I have one. And I don't write with pencils. I just
put the
pencil
them.
In and I sniff
you're
it.
Just wasting
and I
put pencils.
It in. And I put it in this leather-bound fucking pencil holder I bought at the same time, you know? It's all because, like, and then when it arrived, I was like, the void's not full yet.
You know? So you got a second one.
So then I got some consoles.
I was about to say, I think I should do this. Like, I have the Fast and the Furious, I have a Fast and Furious race track that I bought in April. No reason for it. It was $25 at Amazon. I'm like, this is going to make me feel good. I got it. I'm like, what am I going to do with
it? I had that Mario Kart, like the real life Mario Kart thing. I had it in my cart for like an hour. I was like, do I need this? You know?
The answer was yes.
The answer is I have it. It's sitting in the box unopened.
Right next to that Fast and Furious.
I think Actually, right next to the Lego NES set that I bought that I've not opened either. So
I think I had the Star Destroyer Lego set, the big huge one. Mm-hmm. I had it for like 2 days in a cart. And like, I showed my girlfriend and she's like, what are you gonna put that? You know? And I was like, I don't
know.
Coffee
table.
It doesn't
matter.
She's
like, I didn't know you were into Legos. I was like, I'm not really that much into it. She's like, What's going on? You know,
well,
I'm just staring at the screen.
Everyone is into Legos.
How can you not be into Legos? That's the part I don't understand.
Well, I'm into Legos, but I can't remember the last time I sat down and built one. I think I built a you remember that set they sold where it was the Return of the Jedi set where at the beginning of the movie. Oh my god, my names are just escaping my mind when. They were on those freaking little land ships, and Boba Fett and everyone was fighting over. the Tarnum Pit, whatever it's called.
Sarlacc, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
You're on the Java skiffs.
Yeah, remember that set? That's I built one of those for my office back at a game spot. And that was the last time I think I built a Lego set.
You should get a Lego set and build it.
Yeah, well, it's fun. It's a good time.
But
I always wanted that R2-D2 one. I haven't been able to find
it. It's a good year to buy stuff. I mean, part of it, especially, I was also trying to get stuff that was keeping my eyes away from staring at screens all day. Because when you work virtually, like, you're on a screen, you're video chatting with everybody. Then afterwards, I was video games and watching movies. Mm-hmm. So, like, my eyes are just on a screen all day. So, I'm like, I wanted. So, like, you know, I've been reading more comic books. I've gotten, like, paints and colored pencils and stuff like that. I'm terrible at it, but it's nice to, like, half an hour to just take my mind off of stuff. Yeah. My friends tell me I should go to therapy, but this stuff is really filling the void for like 5 minutes at a time.
Retail therapy is therapy. It's in the name.
That's right.
Well, to an extent, because like, I think a lot of people, well, I know a lot of my friends have been like, I fucked up my budget. I'm like, why? I bought some bathrobes and now I'm short on food money. I'm like, you know, that's when it becomes like, what?
That's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah,
that sucks. Like if you sold your food money because you bought some bathrobes,
like. Yeah, and right now, like, because I live in Florida, there's a lot of hospitality kind of like careers here that are like,
yeah, that are screwed, like, right now.
Oh, they're screwed, or they're just barely hanging on because you know the restaurant or the hotel had the hindsight to be like, oh shit, this isn't getting anytime soon. Let's convert our business. Let's do more takeout, et cetera, you know? And they're the ones who are like holding on for dear life right now. All the other ones who are just like, open the fuck up. We don't care. Open up. You know what I mean? Those are the ones who are like, are fucked. They're not gonna survive 2 years out, regardless of whether things open or not. Which in Florida, by the way, for everyone listening, Florida cured the coronavirus. It's no longer here anymore. Strip joints are open. Nightclubs are open. Bars are wide open. It's done. Our governor cured it. I don't know how. There's no vaccine.
Well, obviously he was blessed by Donald Trump. That's what he did. Trump blessed him, and then he laid his hands down upon Florida, and COVID was cured. That's what
everything's wide open. There's a petition. I never heard of this. All right. There's a petition by all the South Florida mayors begging him to allow them to control mandates in their cities, and he's declining to even hear it.
He sounds like a real winner, Walt.
He cured it. It's done, over with. As a person who had it earlier in the year, I appreciate the fact that he's trying to kill more people around me.
The rest of us have to wait on Dolly Parton's vaccine, but
now that's a 2020 story.
Hey, we laugh, but apparently that woman's could have been a billionaire 10 times over, but she just gives money away.
I think it's great that she's so charitable, and that apparently she's one of those people, because there's a lot of people who give charity and they will let you know that they give charity. She didn't even know it. She gave money for this.
Wasn't there like a giant outrage in Tennessee, was it, or something, where news got out that she's been funding like a crap ton of Black Lives Matter groups, like, without her name attached to it? And they're like, what, you know, and everyone's like, oh my god, Dolly Parton's anti-cop and all that stuff, and she was just like, don't come at the queen, man, you know what I mean?
Funny, maybe you won't find it funny, but a little anecdote about Dolly Parton. So my dad grew up in Pigeon Forge, where she is also from, at the same time as her. And, you know, like they've seen each other in town or whatever. He does not know her, did not know her. She came back to Pigeon Forge after becoming a very successful country music star. And she bought up a lot of the land there and opened Dollywood, which is basically a theme park devoted to her. And so the log flume is, that's where we say my dad is from when he was when he grew up, because it is basically in the area of where he grew up. So she basically bought that land up and so
and made it ever, into a ride.
Yep. If you ever go there, the log flume is my dad's house.
Holy cow, man.
She seems like a nice lady, I guess.
No, and, she seems like legitimate, like a good person then, which is rare, you know?
And 9 to 5 is a good song, so
it is.
All right. So Walt, you're enjoying the PS5 though?
Yeah. Again, the controller impresses me the hell out of me. The potential for what's coming down the line, like the next God of War is going to be jaw dropping based on what Demon's Souls is putting out, you know? The SSD technology, again, like, remember how we were complaining the last time I was on the pod, we were complaining about them selling the value proposition of the new consoles was weak as fuck? It's true. You know, they waited to like what, a week before it launched to finally show like, oh, look how fast the UI is. Look how you can get into games faster. The PlayStation download system on the PlayStation Network is fast as fuck. Can I curse? I forgot to ask.
Curse already.
Yeah. It's fast, right? I think me and Tony were like, hey, I downloaded Fortnite in 20 minutes, like full download and install. And it was like, I think they fixed this thing, you know, because, you know, like
I think I downloaded the entirety of the remastered Spider-Man in less than 20 minutes.
Yeah, they fixed the PlayStation issue. Like if you do like a network status where it shows you the stats, it's not an impressive number, right? I'm still not getting what I get at the house for the down and up, but it shows when you download something. You know, like I started downloading what's that game, that open world game with the dudes in a motorcycle? I just started playing. I can't remember the names. Days Gone. While I was playing a game of Fortnite, and I think I was on my second game, and it alerted me that it was done downloading. You know, and I'm trying to recall if the Xbox was that fast. I don't think it was that fast. Although the transfer over network from Xbox One to Series X is fantastic. It was fast as hell. But the actual download from the Xbox Live is still the same as it was in One X, if that makes sense.
Which was already fast. Like, it's not
slow. It was fast, but not like 20 minutes to download a, you know, a full install. And like, I'm just blown away because I know I remember how slow things were in the PlayStation 4.
You know, yes. Tony's been atrocious. Like, try and go download something on the PS3. Go back 2 gens.
True.
Yeah. Try
like, you're gonna be like, I have a gigabit connection here. It's still like, all right. Well, this game, which is a, you know, it's a PS3 game, it's gonna take 8 hours to download. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and they seem to have fixed that, and I know, and I. They waited until a week before the launch to release that video showcasing, and they say it in like a sentence. Oh, using the proprietary new and improved PlayStation download speed. I was like, what? And now when I'm actually using it, I'm like, this should have been screaming this shit off the rooftops, you know, for months, saying like, oh, not only are the games going to look good, you're going to download them faster. You know, they're going to install way faster too. There's no, like, download's over. Guess what? You got to wait another 10 minutes for the install to finish. You know, that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, I'm seeing that, like, I don't have the PS5, but on the Xbox, once it gets downloaded, the installs to the SSD are fast. Like, yeah. It's reading the data faster.
Yeah. And the quick resume thing on either one of them, because both, I don't know, PlayStation doesn't call it anything, right? They just switch games or something like that. They don't call it anything. But the quick resume, I like that feature on both of them is fantastic. Because I play Apex with Tony pretty much on a nightly basis. And then I was playing Jedi Fallen Knight for a while. And it was so great to just start it, and there it was where I left it. And I can just finish, you know, and then stop and go back into Apex and then come right back to it. like I'm already spoiled with that, you know. Going back to an old console and not being able to do that kind of feels like a step backwards, you know. Even though that's what we've been used to and programmed to do for since, like, we put a cartridge and blew on a cartridge and slapped it into the console, you know?
Well, sure, but, you always had. And like, even on the PC, like, you're not running two games.
Yeah, you can't like, alt-tab between running games, you know? So, like, that stuff already kind of feels like this is going to be fantastic. And I know they're going to, like, the first party games on either one are going to be so freaking impressive going forward, you know?
Once we get some stuff on the Series X.
Well, I mean, Gears Tactics looks fantastic. That's kind of been optimized for the Series X.
It has. And it does look very good. Like it looks like what Tony was playing back in March when I was playing with PlayStation 2 models of Gears players.
Yes.
And I was playing with even less because my poor laptop, you know.
Yours wouldn't even really, like, mine would at least run it. It would give me that same error message that you got.
Yeah.
But it would run the game and it just looked like a PlayStation 2.
I think I was just running to see if it would make a crash. I want to see if I could crash my laptop at that point. But now it's like, wow, dude, this is fantastic. Even like Apex, I was like, Tony, I don't know how the hell I was playing this on console. That last, like, that one, the Xbox One like build of it was so bad. The frames dropping so bad, you know.
I have no idea how you played like that. I really don't. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
It's 90 days. Every time you play, I'm like, dude, this feels so smooth, you know. And it's still not optimized for the consoles right now. Like Apex, still like, running on them.
Stuff just runs faster though. Like I said this last week. Playing Forza 7, like when you would load into a track, like it took a while, but now it's like now intermissions between races are quick. They're done in less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're right back into the next race. Like,
yeah, Red Dead 2. That's the first game I loaded it in into the Series X. Right. And I'm like, okay, let me see how this goes. Remember how long it took from taking title screen to loading a game was?
About 7 hours.
Dude, it's less than like 2 minutes now. And then when you're in game, there's no pop-ins coming in anywhere. Like the draw distance is insane and it still hasn't been optimized. You know what I mean? Like from my understanding, anyway, correct me if I'm wrong. Rockstar hasn't said they've optimized anything for the next gen consoles yet.
No, and you can sort by what is optimized for the system in the, you know, if you go to your My Games tab, you can sort by the consoles and you can pull up, and that's not one of them yet.
But the fact that the Xbox, and I'm not sure if this is the case for the PlayStation, because you know I haven't seen that in writing or heard it, you know, featured. The Xbox automatically kind of apps whatever it can, you know, whether load times or like texture load-ins, you know, whatever the heck it needs to do, it amplifies it, you know? So that makes me really, really excited to, like, even like when I think CD Projekt Red announced that they're going to do a Witcher 3 Definitive Edition, which is going to be the Witcher 3 on steroids just for the next consoles, and it's free for everyone who bought Witcher 3 before. You know, so I can't wait to get my hands on that again.
Speaking of CD Projekt Red, if you are planning on playing Cyberpunk on an old console, you may want to wait a little bit to see how the reviews of that turn out, because they had a stream this week.
Yeah.
And it was struggling on the One X.
Oh no.
It did not look good.
So like I don't have any you know, hold ups that it'll run well on the Series X or the PS5. But if the One X was struggling, the base ones and PS4s are going to be rough.
Didn't they also announce that the game itself is going to be on 2 Blu-rays?
Yes. I thought that's what we were getting at. Like, let's go chomp.
Yeah, that's where I thought it was going to.
No, but that comparison, they did the comparison and they went from showing Johnny Silverhands, I think that's what Keanu's name is, right, in the game. They show him talking and then they switch to the to the One X, and everything's nice and filtered. And it's got everything and the lighting and everything. And they switch to the, like, they switch to the Series X. Then they switch to the One X, and his mouth is barely opening. And he's got dead eyes.
Oh God!
And I'm like, what the? And then they switch to the other one, and then it's like everything's shiny, everything's reflective, and I think they did an injustice in a lot of those videos where they showed all the combat on the One X, and they barely show combat in the Series X. I think they wanted to avoid the comparison because it was probably dramatic from 60 frames to 30 and below. That's probably running in One X and Xbox One.
Yeah. So I would wait for reviews on that if you're using last gen machines.
But the bright side is, right, you're gonna get the upgraded version for free once you buy it.
It's smart delivery enabled.
Smart delivery, and I don't know what they call it on the PlayStation. Let's just hope PlayStation figures out how to do the transfer files, because apparently that's most of the save files aren't transferring.
I also hear that PlayStation doesn't have smart delivery. It is possible for people to download the PlayStation 4 version of the game on the PlayStation 5. Where Xbox will recognize what system you're using.
Yes, because I that's what I actually was doing when I downloaded Fortnite on PlayStation 5. And I read that it said PlayStation 4 like on it, and then there's a PlayStation 5 one.
Yeah, so I guess if I were to download Fortnite, it would download the correct version on my Series X. However, I said this last week with Black Ops, I actually have two icons there because Black Ops is not a smart delivery game.
Wow.
I bought the cross-gen version, though. So I have the Xbox One version, and then there's a Series X version. But there are two icons. So I could, I guess, technically download the Xbox One version onto my Series X if I wanted to. I don't know why I would, but
yeah.
Yes, don't do that.
No.
Just real quick, as an aside, just to kind of go back, just while we're talking, it popped up PlayStation 5 and Xbox One will be restocked on Walmart, like I said, Wednesday before Black Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. So just if you're listening to this week, you know, 9 p.m. Wednesday night. Fantastic.
They're going to destroy their website before they actually update the inventory for the actual Black Friday event.
That's great for me, because that means that Thanks Awakening for $30, I am there. The other tips I'd also say is just log into everything beforehand, so you don't have to fumble with any of that stuff.
Yes. Yes. Remember password, all that stuff, so your information is in, so you can just check out. Don't sit there trying to check out as a guest.
Yeah, I mean, that should... Anybody trying to get this stuff, that should be basic protocol at this point. Log in, like get onto the site early, log in, make sure you have your payment saved, like Walt said, make sure your shipping address is saved.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to have to hit the CAPTCHA 34 times.
Yes.
Because the site's broken. But
multiple browsers, just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
multiple machines, if you got them.
Yeah, I was about to say, if at all possible, it's always handy to sometimes have one on like a laptop or a computer. And also, if they have like a mobile app, because sometimes you can get in the mobile app that you can on the website and vice versa. It's super weird how this stuff works, but I've just been, we've all gone through it with various things. That
I am convinced the only reason I got my Xbox Series X was because I had my work laptop open in addition to my other computer.
Yeah, I had my work laptop and my editing rig, both on the site, and my work laptop actually got in.
Yeah, my personal computer did not get in, but I got in on my work laptop.
Yeah, and like that's the one I was actually actively, typing out emails and all stuff, waiting for it to come back. So essentially, it didn't go on standby mode or any of that stuff. It was just an active connection, and it was able to get back in.
And Tony, You've looked at the PlayStation as your kids have played it.
Yeah, so I've spent most of my time playing Series X games, but I was watching my son play Miles Morales. That game is art. It looks fantastic. It is the most attractive game I have ever seen in my life. So the game opens up with this chase sequence with Miles Morales and Peter Parker chasing down Rhino. And it's just them running through the streets, like smashing through everything. And it just looks awesome in every possible way. I haven't seen a level of, like, looking at the reflections of the glass and looking at, like, the level of detail they had and everything. It was just mind blowing.
Nice.
So I am really excited to play it for myself. It looks awesome.
Excellent. And Walt, you've played some Demon Souls as well. You said that looked really good.
That's to me, that's true next gen. That's something, that's a standard. From sound to animation to hit detection to the controller, like, to me, that's, everything's gonna have to match up to this. Like, the game itself, we can argue all day, it's still the old, it's the old system, it's an old Souls game, so there's a lot of those hit or misses that people who jumped into, like, Dark Souls 3, going back to this, are going to be like, why is this working this way? They have to remember that this was the architect for everything else.
Right.
You know? So you have to kind of overlook that and be like, this is what a remaster is supposed to be. They touched on everything from the music to even, like, dumb Easter eggs, right? Like in the original Demon Souls, there's this cat eye ring. When you put it on, instead of like an icon that said, oh, sneak mode, whatever, it was a picture of a little kitty cat, you know? And that was an Easter egg that kind of like carried on for, like, it was infamous. People thought it was Photoshop, but it was actually in game, right? In this one, when you beat the game, that same kitty icon shows up in a credit scene. You know, it's kind of like that little, like, those little love taps to, like, the old. It's a new standard. It makes, like, the Final Fantasy VII remake kind of look like they could have done a better job. You know?
Well, I mean, if you played that and walked through some of the areas, they could have done a better job, yes.
Yeah. And in quite the opposite, right? Demon's Souls has a notorious kind of like unfinished level they could never finish, but there's a door that leads to it, right? People didn't find out about this until like years later when someone cracked it and they're like, oh, hey, there's code for this. Oh, and there's like a frame for what the level was supposed to be, you know? But it was never rendered or anything. It's just a door. The door is on this thing. It's there. And when you put it in photo mode, they rendered everything beyond the door, meaning like there's a possibility we might get an never before seen section to this game that's, I don't know how many years old it is at this point, you know? It's just little touches, you know? It's just little touches. Like, I 100% feel like this game is going to be like the little bit of a jumping point for people to rediscover all these other Souls games. You know, just in time for whatever the next Bloodborne is going to be or whatever the next Dark Souls is going to be.
I mean, there's that Elden Ring, right? That's by From Software, by Miyazaki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's probably going to be the next big thing from them.
This game is fantastic. And full disclosure, I don't have a 4K TV yet. You know, like, I've been really picky about what I wanted to get. I want to get something that does HDMI 2.1 and can actually do 120 frames per second instead of just, you know, mimicking with whatever that function is called, the auto whatever the heck they call it on TVs. And the slim pickings are like really, 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 really small, which is something actually, if you don't have a console yet and you think you can just go pick up any 4K TV, do a little bit of research. 4K TVs that are compatible with this thing and with HDMI 2.1 they're going to give you like the 120, you know, frames per second in like HDR and all that stuff are very limited. It's very hard to find. And the ones that have that compatibility are in like the 5,000 range or completely sold out right now. So I'm like, I'm still like, the TV I showed Tony the other day that handles all this stuff, like out of the box, is completely sold out until January. So I'm like being patient. So that, with that being said, the game itself running at 1080p at solid 60 frames is an experience. Like, if you ever played a Souls game, there's drop frames, there's weird clipping and shit like that. I haven't experienced that yet in this game.
Nice. I also played a new console. Well, I don't know if you can call it a, I don't know if you can call it a console.
Oh no.
The future of gaming.
I've played the future of gaming from Amazon. I've tried out Luna, which is their cloud-based gaming solution.
Didn't it already get discontinued?
No.
It was that game they were developing. That's the one that got stopped.
Yes. Right? Yeah, no. Luna is what was just announced like in the last month. It is their Stadia competitor.
Great.
Scary enough as it is, right?
I'm gonna launch an 8-track competitor this week, I think.
Exactly. And I don't know. I've tried Stadia. It works fine. Earl, have you set up your Stadia yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. He's like, I forgot where I put it.
Oh, wait. Did I forget where I put it?
It's around behind that Mario stuff.
Where is it?
It's behind the Mario stuff. That's Brandy. I promise you.
Clearly, this is a completely important thing for Earl. Yeah. It's the center of his life.
I tried to set it up, and it took over my HDMI selector. And I'm like, you know what? We're not going to deal with you right now because...
And you never came back. You had a brand new console. You had one tiny issue, and you're like, you know, this is too much. I'm done.
Not one tiny issue. I mean, if it takes over my... Like, I have other things on my HDMI selector.
It's fair enough. So Luna is that. It's a cloud-based gaming. I tried out 4 games. 2 of them worked. Ukulele and the Impossible Lair, which is it's a precision platformer, I guess you could say. It worked fine. It worked perfectly, just like you would expect if you were playing it on the Xbox or PlayStation. Plays fine. Responsive controls. Looks good on the screen. Then I played Blasphemous, which is kind of like a pixel art Castlevania type of game. Again, played great. Perfectly fine. Then I tried to play... I remember I tried to play a tennis game. And that didn't work at all. Wouldn't recognize buttons. Wouldn't recognize my keyboard. I had to quit out of that. And another game that I tried also wouldn't recognize buttons or keyboard. So right now, Luna seems very spotty. Half of the shit that I tried worked. Half doesn't. Also, the actual selection of games isn't... great. Like they have some games like Control, Metro Exodus that are you know AAA titles, but a lot of them are smaller indie games.
What did the controller feel like?
So I'm just using an Xbox controller.
Okay,
the $60 to get the Luna specific controller.
Gotcha.
It's because you don't need it. Like. I mean, it's there if you want it. It's supposedly designed specifically for cloud gaming, but my Xbox One controller works perfectly with it, and that didn't cost me anything.
I'm looking at the website right now. It looks just like a Pro controller for Nintendo, but we have like a headphone jack, which I wish that came
Pro controller had. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it's a fine controller. Like there doesn't seem anything wrong with it. There are some like cool things that actually make this, I think, a little bit better than Stadia. Although there are issues with Amazon's subsidiary Twitch right now that maybe make you not want to utilize them. But you can like integrate your Luna right into Twitch, and so you can launch your games right from Twitch and start streaming right from there if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't believe, like Stadia, Google announced that you'd be able to do that with YouTube, and it's still not available in their system. So Amazon has figured this out. you know, the game selector looks, if you've ever watched a movie off of Amazon's website, it looks exactly like, you know, Prime does there. Mm. I wouldn't doubt that at some point they just push this in and like everybody with a Prime account gets base Luna. They are doing something called Channels, which right now it's just Ubisoft. So if you subscribe to Ubisoft's, what I don't know exactly what it's called now. It's like Ubisoft Plus or something like that.
Yeah.
Where you can basically you pay them $15 a month and you get to play all their games. So right now, like if I paid them $15 a month, like I could play Valhalla, Watch Dogs Legion. But they're not all available. Like Watch Dogs Legion is not available in Luna yet, so I'd have to play that outside of Luna somehow. But it works, I guess, in half the games I played.
I feel better than with the Google solution from what I hear.
I mean, Stadia works. Like those games work. Every game I've tried in Stadia works. It's just you have to buy those games. Like if you want to play, you can get Stadia Pro or whatever for whatever that costs a month, and you get the free games, kind of like Xbox Live Gold games with gold or the PS Plus games, and you can play those ones. But if you want to play anything else, you have to buy them. And like spending $60 on Valhalla and Stadia seems stupid.
Yeah. What worries me more is the data plan. Because those things, like I'm on the website right now, I wanted to see if they actually listed how much, like on average at 1080p, they're estimating 10 gigabytes an hour.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
that. You know, so like on top of your Netflix streaming and all that stuff, like if you're Comcast or one of those companies, they're going to bottleneck the hell out of your connection. You know, especially if you don't have unlimited access. Because I think I guess that's me. For me right now, I had to buy an unlimited plan because they were bottlenecking the hell out of me before I was doing all the Netflix and all that stuff, just because of what I was uploading and downloading on a regular basis for my job. You know? So that's kind of like a hidden cost of this stuff.
And if you have a data cap and not every area, like, I mean, I don't have a data cap where I'm at, but there are areas in this country that do have data caps. So. Yeah. If you have a data cap, this is not a solution for you.
You don't have one yet, because I have a feeling after this quarantine and the self-isolation everyone's doing, next year we're all going to be hit with one. They're going to do something.
Philadelphia likely will never be hit with one, because this is Comcast headquarters.
You got to burn it down. I know Philadelphia likes to burn stuff down.
We do like to burn stuff down, but they have a plan already with the city Comcast provides the Wi-Fi for the entire city. Like there's open Wi-Fi in the city as it is right now through Comcast.
Well, Comcast is the main provider down here, right in South Florida. And they data cap the shit out of you. And
everywhere else in the country they do. But, they also don't have, like in a lot of places, Comcast is your only option. And I'm not sure about up by where Earl is in New York or where Tony is down in, you know, Washington, but we have fortunately Verizon also has inroads here, as well as another provider. That keeps it off, like, right? It keeps competition up. And it, like, where Comcast is the only one, they can do whatever the hell they want. Or if Verizon's the only provider, they can do whatever the hell they want. If you only have one provider in your area, you're kind of fucked. So,
yeah. Well, somehow Comcast was able to come in here and convinced our city ordinance to kind of like give them exclusive areas. So, like, in areas of Miami Beach, you only have the option of AT&T. And, like, you cross the street and you might have options of Spectrum. and then you cross the other street, and that's only Comcast. That tells you how crooked things are down here.
Yep, and that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so one, I don't think data should be capped. Like, fuck that. Give us. Yes. It should be a fucking utility, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
They don't cap your water usage or
right
electricity. Why are they capping your data?
I mean, if you need to charge me more because I'm using, you know, a little bit more than, but it should all be at the same rate. So,
well, it's going to be the same game, right? They're gonna ask for federal assistance to bring the infrastructure up to date, meaning fiber outlets, you know what I mean, so they can provide actual good coverage across,
mm-hmm.
and then make us pay for the work somehow anyway, you know. Yep.
And the sad thing is like, we all live in major metropolitan areas, so we probably already have the infrastructure set up properly, so we're going to be paying for like Kentucky and Kansas through our tax money so that they can get internet.
Which, for the record, for those rural like schools and stuff and areas, like, I'm down to pay for that.
Yeah, it's needed. Yeah.
It's a disadvantage at this point if you don't have high speed internet, you know.
I'm certainly not bitching about it. Just
Earl is. Can you hear him?
Yeah,
he won't shut up about it.
Yeah, he's so mad.
So that's Luna. Earl, did you play anything this week?
Oh, I did start Star Wars The Fallen Order.
Fallen Order, yep.
Fallen Jedi. Yeah, so because, you know, like part of the Xbox Series Letters launch was the fact that EA Play is being folded into Game Pass Ultimate. So why not take advantage of that? And I mean, I'm really early in, so far I'm enjoying it. It kind of reminds me in many ways. It's Star Wars via Uncharted. I know Jeff is all about the Dark Souls, and I guess that's part of the combat. But so far, just Traversu and the inner monologue, not inner monologue, but always kind of talking to yourself, very guts give me an Uncharted vibe. I'm only like an hour in, so I'm still kind of getting the story and stuff. But so far, it seems fun. I've been enjoying it. But yeah, I think that's about it for newish games for me. My baby comes out in about half an hour, so I'm excited for that.
Age of Calamity, right?
Yep.
I'm excited to hear what you and Jeff have to say about that next week.
As am I, especially after reviews, because it seems like it will not be as fan servicey as people were hoping, I guess.
And damn it, Earl doesn't like to be serviced.
Never.
Yeah, I'm in her because I mean, both of you liked the last game, so it'll be fun to see how you turn out on this new one that maybe has some technical issues.
The technical issues won't bother me too. I guess I did see some videos where I'm like, this showdown is really kind of like okay, yeah. Yeah.
Tony, what have you been playing on your Series X?
Well, other than Apex Legends, I've given a lot of time this week to Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I was trying to hold myself off because I knew if I started playing that, I would not come back to Watch Dogs for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that's going to happen because Valhalla is pretty awesome so far. The game looks fantastic, obviously, being an Assassin's Creed game on the Series X, it's, you know, it's pretty much what you'd expect there. The combat system I like, it seems to be a lot more simplified and straightforward than the last couple of Assassin's Creed games. So it's easier to play, like heavy attack. You'll see, a lot of shield guys in this one. It's, you know, very Viking based, so lots of people walking around with shields and axes. So heavy attack to destroy shields, light attack. There's a dodge, but like it's really simple and straightforward. There's only like four buttons that are involved in the combat, as opposed to having like switch through stuff, which makes it way easier to play through. So yeah, heavy attack, light attack, dodge, and then there's a parry button. I am not that far in the story, which I think is incredibly long. Like, I've heard it takes 8 hours or so to get to the actual opening credit sequence, which I have not sniffed at all. In fact, I am still having played the game for, I want to say, 4.5-5 hours. I'm still back in the original Viking area, so I'm somewhere in a random fjord in Scandinavia.
Once you leave Norway is when it kind of gets going. Yeah.
The game, I mean, I already have a ship I can sail around in. You can take your ship into areas and perform raids, which allow you to attack the villages and kill people for their stuff, in classic Viking fashion. It also has the big epic battles that you had in Odyssey, which was one of my favorites, wading through seas of people to kill other people. Along with the random, they're not particularly random, but the boss battles that you would have, enemies with more health and special attacks. So you'll find them in the middle of those big battles. Story-wise, it is very Assassin's Creed-y. You'll be shocked to know that someone at the beginning of the game dies, forcing your character into a path of lifelong revenge, like every other single Assassin's Creed game that has ever been developed. The whole... I having played 4 or 5 hours, I am just glancing off of the Assassins and Templars. My character is not a member of either order. Their involvement in the whole situation is not yet clear. So it's more of an so far more of a storyline that relates more to these specific people and not to the epic tapestry that you got from the whole struggle between those two orders.
Right.
But I am sure that whatever is happening now will somehow be wrapped into it, since otherwise it would not be an Assassin's Creed game. But so far, pretty fun. Fire is pretty awesome. There are red pots everywhere, and if you shoot the pot with an arrow or hit it with your axe, it bursts into flame no matter what you've done. Which is a little weird to me, but also lights the enemies on fire and can also light you on fire. So I've died a couple of times in the game, mostly from, charring myself to death. So, a lot of fire. Let's see. There's all sorts of little mini games that you can play through. Some of them are drinking games. You can challenge people to drinking contests.
Did you make an actual drinking game?
you could probably, drink along with it if you wanted to. The most amusing part is your character actually gets drunk during the drinking contest, so when it ends you spend the next 5 minutes wandering around in the game with the screen moving all around, and it just makes it hard to play for a little bit. It's fun. I don't know, so far it's good. I'm really looking forward to playing a lot more of it. I'm really looking forward to getting my own village and moving on to England and really getting into the game at large, but I'm excited with what I played so far.
Cool. I'd be interested to see if Jeff is still playing it when we come back next week. Because, he has historically fallen off of Assassin's Creed very quick.
Yeah. The gameplay, if the gameplay is not going to change in the next 50 hours. So if you get tired of it after 10 hours, well, you're done.
Might not be for you, yeah.
Yeah.
What might also not be for everyone is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. But it's for me.
Ooh.
I think it's very good. It has one, you have to download everything. So that's kind of a nightmare. Because I think it's like 140 or so gigs. Like just to get going. But once everything's installed, campaign, full campaign this time around, which Modern Warfare also had, but Black Ops 4 did not. So full campaign, full multiplayer suite, Warzone, and a brand new zombies mode, which I have not tried yet. But multiplayer seems great. I've been playing a lot of Team Deathmatch and Kill Confirmed. I like the maps. So far, I'm seeing a lot of the same ones. I think I've heard that there's only 9 maps at the start of this. They're obviously going to release more, but 9 seems like a low number to me. Especially since Modern Warfare release was 16 at start. But what I've been playing most of is the campaign, and it is very good.
Ooh.
Has splintering paths. You can make different choices. And like, you know, you'll come across these parts where you have these dialogue choices and action choices to make. And depending upon what you do, will influence how the story progresses. So, you know, early on, you have the option of, you know, you're chasing this guy, you capture him, and you have the option of, you know, capturing him and bringing him back to interrogate him, or just killing him right there. And if you capture him, you bring him back, and your team will get more information out of him, which will give you more intel going into future missions. Or you can kill him, and then you're going in blind in certain areas.
Should have killed him.
I did not, but then like I did. There's another mission where you're kind of given an option of same sort of thing. You're chasing a guy, and you catch up to him, and one of the MI6 operative is like, I need him alive, and I accidentally killed him.
Oops.
I went up to him. They were like, secure the target. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just melee him right in the head, like knock him out, and then we can tie him up or whatever. That instantly killed him. And it just, like, the MI6 lady comes up and she starts screaming at me, like, we could have used that intel. And it actually makes another mission, like, you're going in more blind, and you don't realize the support that they have in that area because of that. You have an option, like there's options of, hey, you can save one of these people in the middle of the mission. Like, you're one of these people has to be left behind. You can choose who to save, and then that will give you perks in future missions. Depending upon how you deal with certain people, it will open up certain doors for you later on. Like, there's a lot more going on in this Call of Duty game than what you would expect in what is basically a roller coaster, you know, shoot fest. And there are side missions. I don't know if you guys ever played Black Ops 2, which I think is the last one that had side missions in it. They're not necessary. You don't need to do them to complete the game, but you know, there are these fun, like, side Black Ops missions that you can run through. Soundtrack's great. Game looks good. People are saying it doesn't look as good as Modern Warfare. I've not seen it look bad, but I'm also playing it on the Series X, so it's possible that playing it on like the
same console.
Yeah, playing it on the same consoles, it does look worse. I think it looks pretty good. If you saw the original trailer, the reveal trailer for the campaign, it was almost like this Fast and Furious type car chase sequence, and that's in, and it's like Fast and Furious 6 when they're chasing the plane, and it's a ton of fun. Like, you're riding up the wing of the plane, and it's crazy, crazy explosive. Like movie theater shit going on. It's just a ton of fun. So I'm enjoying it. I'm waiting for the first season to start. Maybe I'll continue kind of like working through that once their season starts there. If I remember correctly from Modern Warfare, though, they're shorter than Apex seasons. And they have more tiers as well, which means I will probably never complete a season. But it's fun. And like, you know, all like Call of Duty since, you know, Modern Warfare, like since Call of Duty 4, watching the numbers go up and getting unlocks on the regular as those numbers go up, it's still addictive. It's like that. It's a system that works. Call of Duty has it right. They get it right. It's the reason why it's been able to sustain itself for as long as it has. I'm interested to see what Battlefield kind of answers with next year, because you know, we like Battlefield 5, but it seems like Call of Duty may have kind of, you know, hit the top. It's hitting the top tier again with the last 2 years of releases. So it's going to be fun next, you know, this next generation, seeing these two big combat first person shooters go toe to toe again.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, and I played some Madden. I know we've talked about Madden a lot. Earl loves when we talk about Madden.
It's his favorite part of the show. It is.
I just want to say that I'm still working through that campaign mode, which Tony finished the story mode. That thing is fucked up. It is so broken. I just won this. Like, I won the Super Bowl, and then I won the Super Bowl. We went undefeated, 16-0. I was named Offensive Player of the Year, and then we go into the off season, and I'm met with, "Hey, we're bringing in another quarterback. There's going to be an open competition." What the fuck are you talking about?
Did you have to play the Dolphins 5 times in a row?
Oh no, I had to play the Eagles because I got traded from Baltimore. I let the game choose where I played. So I was drafted by Baltimore, and they were like, "You're not going to start here, but we can trade you to the Dallas Cowboys." Like, that doesn't seem much better, but okay, fine. So I played my career in the fucking Dallas, which is just torture to begin with, playing under Jerry Jones. But yeah, I've now won 3 Super Bowls, and I'm 29 years old, because if you play straight through and you want to be whatever you started out as, whatever position you started out as, you leave college a year early. So I'm now my 9th season. This kid is either 29 or 30 years old, and it's my last season. Like that's the interview. Like, this is your last season. It's like, well, I feel like I still have stuff. Yeah, because you're 30 fucking years old. Like,
right.
You're not Tom Brady. Like, he's 42.
You were the best quarterback that ever played the game for 7 seasons.
Right. Like, am I Kurt Warner? Like, is that what I'm doing here? This shit is, whoever wrote this is batshit insane. Because it is goofy. Like, really goofy. And then my buddy, the Heartbreak Kid buddy, mm-hmm. he just texts me. He hasn't texted me in like 5 years out of the blue last year. He's like, "Yo, I know you're going through some shit with this quarterback competition." Like, you have not been in my life for 5 years. Like, why are you texting me? How do you have my number still?
How are you still alive? Shouldn't you be dead?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the whole thing is a mess.
Did at any point during your career, okay, think back. This is very important because this is the NFL.
Yep.
At any point in your career, did you take a knee during the anthem? Because that might explain why they don't want to make you a starter.
That could be. They don't show the anthem, though, so I never got that choice. They did not write that into the story.
How unpatriotic.
Very unpatriotic.
You might have put, like, hashtag Black Lives Matter on a tweet. That's all it takes in the NFL.
Yeah. I don't actually control...
Any concussions.
I did miss a whole season, so... But I don't control my own Twitter feed either, so... That's just done for me. I have somebody for that. So it's possible I'm out there not supporting the right causes. Who knows?
Especially if you play for Jerry Jones, man. That's all it takes. Is just
he probably heard that I supported something, and he was like, bring another quarterback in.
Yeah,
I know that the season before he threw for 5,000 yards and 54 touchdowns. And had 128 passer rating, but bring another quarterback because
I don't like the way he looks at the flag.
Right? You know? Maybe that's it. Like, he's finally just had enough of me, and he's like, we understand you're 30, but you have to retire now. I don't.
It's the Andrew Luck career. There you go.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Oh, shit,
that's his ceiling. That's his ceiling.
Yeah.
And this is still the same Madden that had the ultra invisible snow lineman mode
and the snow. And yes.
Yeah.
That hasn't shown up again.
They need to, like, next year, they need to come back with a brand new engine. None of this.
Did you guys see the trailers for the Series X version?
It looks really good.
It looks really, really good. With, like, the live on-field stat tracking.
Yep. I'm going to hold off. So I'm going to finish out whatever this career mode is. And then I think I'm done with Madden until that version comes out.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that too. I finished out the career mode. I'm just waiting for the new version to give that a shot.
Because I know 2K is doing that. They're building something ground up next gen. And it already looks beautiful. So imagine what they're going to be able to pull off next.
So has that 2K version come out yet?
No, my understanding, it's still the 2K you get in the Series X PlayStation 5 just adds HDR and ray tracing when available. But it's not really, I guess the frames are more steady, but it's not.
Well, there's whole modes in the Series X and PS5 version of 2K that aren't in the Xbox One and PS4 versions.
Yeah, but it's still... I guess maybe we're not on the same track. I'm talking about they build the engine to ground up.
Okay.
They're still not there yet for either
one. It's the same engine.
So the same engine. Okay. Yeah.
They're just pushing, like, some effects that weren't available, like, especially on the visuals and in the jersey, and stuff like that. It's way more detailed than next gen.
Nice. Is Madden still running off Frostbite?
Yes.
Tony? Yeah. So that's not likely to change next year either. So,
but they gotta, at this point, man, you gotta start from scratch. I mean, they've been recycling stuff for how many years now? Textures and stuff like that.
So yeah. Madden's only been on Frostbite for three or four years.
This gen, yeah.
Like, it was like mid gen they switched over.
Yeah. But still, I still say like, they need to wow people. Madden, I know they have to have internal meetings saying, like, look how they're shitting on us.
I mean, I'm sure they do, but also I think when the MPDs came out, was it last week that they came out? Mm-hmm. It was revealed Madden is the third best-selling game of the year.
Yeah. And every year it's like that. And there's no incentive for them to, like, push when those are their numbers.
Yeah. Same with FIFA. FIFA's the same situation.
Yep. And I think FIFA is in, like, top 10 for the year, and it does better overseas.
People hate
much better.
Yeah, people hate buy FIFA at this point. They buy it just so they can shit on it.
Just looks so dumb. I mean, at that point, why not just sign up for EA Play or whatever it's called, and just wait until 6 months, because it'll show up for free.
Yeah,
Like, we could all go right now and play last year's Madden through Game Pass right now.
You know what I'm waiting on? Remember, this MLB The Show is going to go
Cross-platform.
So that's this year? It's supposed to be next year's, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought, right? Like a 20.
Well, I haven't seen an official announcement from the developer. Remember, this came from like the Baseball Players Association or something like that.
Right.
And then they went ahead and said, like, yeah, we got plans to do this. But they haven't seen like an official, like, oh, here's what the box is going to look like from Series X. None of that stuff.
Yeah, well, that game won't come out until April.
Mm-hmm.
It's like whenever opening day should be.
I swear to God, they better have the Marlins COVID roster after it broke out. They better have just one lefty in the bullpen.
That, you know? I will say, and the NFL is running as the NFL runs this year.
Yeah. So
Madden, like, I mean, I do think that maybe EA could have pulled the crowd out of the stands.
I know,
think that would have been pretty cool.
That would have been fantastic, dude.
But NHL, NBA, they should have had something where, you know, you're playing in the bubble. Like, even if it was just like bubble mode, right? Like,
even like what's that wrestling one? The 2K wrestling? The WWE
2K Ground.
They could have released like a DLC, like Thunderdome DLC, where it's nothing but fans on monitors watching the wrestlers fight. You know?
Like I think that like just to like give, because these are supposed to be simulations.
Yeah.
Like Battlegrounds isn't, but you know, these other sports games and 2K or whatever are supposed to be simulations of these sports and wrestling events. Yeah, give us that. Like, it doesn't have to be the whole game, but just give us like a mode where it's like bubble mode or Thunderdome mode or
is that what
they're calling it?
Video screen.
Yeah, it's funny though, right? Like,
well, at the start of the pandemic, it was just the wrestlers and the play-by-play guys. So the wrestlers were having like banter with the play-by-play guys. They're like, oh, Bailey's about to jump off the top rope. And she screamed at the play-by-play guy, no, I'm not. And she got off the top rope. It was the funniest thing I've seen in like a long time. I'm like, man, that'd be great to replicate that. You know what I mean?
All right, we are running late. What do we got for news, Earl?
What do we have for news? If there was any news this week. Anything at all. Something phenomenal. Something spectacular. Something a bit shaken. A bit stirred. I thought you'd be happy about this. One of your favorite developers.
It was your intro that I was unhappy with.
Well.
I'm excited for the game, but, you know.
Well, I mean, before you crapped on it. Such an amazing intro. For such an amazing man. A man who needs no introduction, but he has one of the most iconic introductions of all time. Name is Bond. James Bond. Yes, so...
I ruined it. Sorry, Earl.
But yes, found out today...
I'm not sorry.
That IO Interactive is... I mean, it's just subtitled Project 007 right now, right? Or 007 Project.
Yeah.
It is the first new James Bond game in almost a decade. The last one would have been 007 Legends, which I believe came out in 2012.
We went a whole generation without a Bond game.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Was it not ported over to these systems?
Or was it? I don't think so.
No,
I don't think it was.
Okay. No, well, it's not. So it came out in October 2012. And I don't know how much people remember this game. The only thing I really remember about this game was that it was unfinished at launch because it was launched into time with a Skyfall, but it's not a Skyfall game. And they couldn't do a Skyfall mission. Not Skyfall. No, yeah, Skyfall. They couldn't do a Skyfall mission, so they had it content, and then the free DLC come out after Skyfall, which would be a Skyfall level, which people thought would be the cap of the game, but it's actually just a bunch of independent missions that don't really tie together. In other words, it's not a good game. It's the long road to get there. But, and this was the last one made by Activision, and we've not seen, like, I think there's a mobile like one or two mobile games in between that, but that's about it. So yeah, it's super exciting. I mean, it's the team behind the Hitman franchise, and I think if, you know, if you were to make a modern Bond game, I think there's a lot of elements of Hitman that would work. I don't necessarily think Bond's an assassination dude, but a lot of the blending in, a lot of your environments, a lot of using different gadgets and stuff to navigate is really cool. And it's one of the things, as much as people love it, and it's still, you know, it's still one of those Hallmark games. I think one of the things that GoldenEye did that kind of perverted James Bond in video game space for a long time was turn it into a pure shooter.
Yes. Like,
James Bond is an action franchise, don't get me wrong, but like the shootouts are such a minor part of any one of the movies.
Yeah, that's why I like when they incorporate like driving missions or like the tank missions or like other stuff into those Bond games, because that's kind of the most fun part of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how Hitman works too. Like Hitman is not about getting into firefights, because when you get into firefights, you lose.
You know, you're going to lose. It's like you can get into firefights, but you want to like make sure you kind of picked off people ahead of time, so there's like one or two people to kill. And yeah, that's very much so. I mean, I've said time and time again, my personal favorite James Bond game is Everything or Nothing. And that's partially because, like Chris says, it incorporates other elements of the franchise, car chases, motorcycle chases, but also it uses a variety of gadgets, which is always a fun part of the movie, is when he goes to Q Yavs and they give him some watch and a belt buckle and some shoes that does some magical thing that you know is going to come up in some random element of the movie, but it always works. And that, again, I understand Golden, I understand what it stands for, and it's a good game, and I don't want to take that away. But I think for the past, like, after that, everybody just tries to keep on making Bond into a shooter franchise, which takes away a big element of the franchise. And I mean, even GoldenEye, and I would say a lot of the games up until like Everything or Nothing and Beyond, was like Bond didn't speak, and part of Bond's appeal is that he's a charmer.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm happy, and again, Hitman's, you know, fully voice acted, some really good and well crafted cutscenes as well. Mm-hmm. The one thing I am curious about from a fan standpoint, though, is, I mean, from everything we know, No Time to Die, whenever that may come out, is supposed to be Daniel Craig's final Bond appearance. And as far as I know, we don't have a replacement Bond, so I don't know if they're going to use Daniel Craig as a stand-in Bond, if it's going to be like, oh, we're just going to use one of the Bonds from throughout history, or if they just kind of create their own take on this James Bond character for the video games.
I'd be okay with that.
Bring back zombie Sean Connery.
See, part of me thinks they could do Sean Connery because he just passed away, and it's, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess him and Moore are dead now. It would be a good way to be like, oh, we're honoring Sean Connery's legacy.
Right.
And it wouldn't be the first time, because he started in the From Russia With Love game in like 2006 or something like that.
But there's no way his estate releases his likeness. There's
No, but they would, you know, you could still mock it up.
You could make something that looks close enough.
Plus, it really depends on like what kind of rights deal do they have.
Well, do you guys hear about, was it Skyfall, the one where he goes back to where he grew up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so the original script called for Sean Connery to him go back to his place and talk about his estranged father, blah, 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 and Sean Connery was going to be waiting there. That was his original take on it. Sean Connery was going to be like, because it would be like, not necessarily like he was the direct father, but it was something the script called for, like, this is where all the retired 007s show up, and Sean Connery was like taking care of that property where he was growing up, where he grew up. It was going to be something kind of like crazy reveal at the end, and that whole firefight at the end was going to involve Sean Connery instead of Judi Dench and that weird caretaker guy that they ended up making a run with. It was going to be Sean Connery.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, and they approached him, and there was he really didn't have interest. You know what I mean?
At that point, he might not have been able to.
Yeah, we're not sure that it was expressed like, oh, you know, just things didn't work out. That's how the story goes, right? Who knows what the actual logistics were, you know, or availability, blah blah blah. Who knows what that is? But Sean Connery is notoriously like, from what you hear stories, especially now he passed away, you hear stories how little fucks he had for movie studios. You know what I mean?
Cameo? Why?
Yeah. No. If you asked him in the wrong way, he would say no. There's a very famous story that was on Twitter. It went viral, where the writer, who was a movie that never got made, the guy is like, "Oh, who's the writer? Who's the team? Okay, I'll be there at 9. Dude showed up at the guy's like tiny little office, right? And he goes, "Oh, my name's Sean. And if you call me sir, I'm leaving right now." Because, you know, at that point he was knighted, you know. And he went like that, and he's like, "Okay, I like this. Write it up and send it to me." And he made the mistake of sending it to the studio and then sending it to Sean. And then the studio's like, "Sean, we have some notes." He goes, "Who are you?" He's like, "You didn't write it. Like, have them call me." And he had to call him in the Bahamas, right? He's like, "Send me the script direct." The script got stuck in customs. The guy walked to the custom office in the Bahamas, and they handed it to him right on the spot. And they told him, "Hey, anytime I get anything, just send someone, walk a boy over." You know what I mean? And he had it like that. That was his freaking island, apparently, right? And he literally said at the very last minute, they're getting ready to lock the script down, all that stuff, and the studio said something fucking stupid, or the director said something dumb, and he told the writer, I'm sorry, lads, but I can't make a movie with this imbecile. And he walked away from the project. Just like that. Because the director said, like, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out in CGI or whatever." He's like, because he asked him, like, storyboard the scene for me. And he said, "Oh, that's unnecessary. We'll figure it out in post." You know? And literally, he called the writers. He goes, "You guys are stand-up guys, but I can't work with this idiot." Oh, and no. Walked away from the project like that. He was notorious to have, like, zero fucks at the end of his career there. Which... Hell yeah, you're Sean Connery. Why would you?
You earned it at that point.
Yeah. And evidently his last role was in 2003, like his last live action role. So
was it a Planet Forrester? I thought it was Mystery Man.
It wasn't that.
No, Eagle of Extraordinary Judgment. Yeah.
League of Extraordinary.
Oh, weird. Was that it?
Where he played Alan Quartermain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I know he retired around that time. Because even like in the 90s, his live action stuff was drying up. But yeah, I mean, Bob's one of my all time favorites. I mean, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, him and Harrison Ford is like one of my favorites on screen. And then, of course, I watched The Rock. But yeah.
What's that movie with Catherine Zeta Jones where they're thieves? Entangled?
Entrapment?
Yeah. Entrapment. Entangled's something different. Entrapment. Yeah, that he was fucking awesome in that one, dude.
But he did give his likeness, and he voiced Bond in, as Earl said, in From Russia with Love, in that 2005 video game from EA.
Oh wow, dude.
So it's possible that, you know, they might be able to secure his likeness. Who knows what IO's doing?
He's so old school. I imagine his estate's just like his bookie that took his bets or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what? Yeah, why not? You know what I mean? I kind of feel like he's such old school, like Hollywood dude. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because but yeah, I mean, I guess going back to the game, it's like it's exciting that they're working. As far as I can understand. It is self-published and self-developed. I don't think they have it outside of them. And that, what they say, it's an origin story, which is both fascinating and not, because the closest thing we've gotten to the origin story is Casino Royale. And he becomes a 00 in the 5 minutes of that movie, and then they go about the movie like nothing else matters. So I'm curious how they make this an origin tale.
But in the books, that technically was the origin story, right? Casino Royale was the very first Bond book.
Yeah.
So they could adapt the book and get away with it, right?
I think they'll probably do something different. Like, Casino Royale is like, I mean, it was 15 years ago, but it's still kind of recent in most people's minds. I don't know if they'd want to
rehash that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, well, I feel like Bond is one of those characters who I don't care about his origins. It's not like fair. I think origins work for comic books because like there's an element to like how did they get their powers? How did they decide to be who they are? Bond is just a spy. He's a government agent. Like it's like finding out somebody's like becoming a tax attorney. It's like that's not exciting right. to watch.
Well, wasn't it already like expressed in the movies that 007 and James Bond are a designation, not necessarily an identity?
Well, they 007 is a status. You know, 00 agents are a special class of British Secret Service, which is why you know, like I said in Casino Royale, like the whole point of the opening scene is like, you know, it takes two kills to become a 00. How did it happen? You know, I hit the second one, and then he shoots the guy. He's like, much. And then that's pretty much how he becomes a 00. And then 7 is just his number. Because, you know, like Trevon and GoldenEye's 006. We met 008 in, I think, Octopussy. So there's other 00 agents who come out. And then I think the rumor in No Time to Die has always been that, I forget the actress's name, but she's actually 007 in the movie because it's a designation where James Bond is his actual name.
Hmm. How would you guys feel if the game became like you're the latest to become 007? So it's not any of these characters.
What if I also did the like the Hitman iPhone game, right? What if it's just one of those?
I would be so mad.
Oh my god.
007 Go.
Can I imagine just getting their hands on that and that property? Because you know how protective they are of the 007 property just for the movies to get made. It goes through like an entire like board to approve a script, you know?
Which is why I imagine a lot of people avoided the game license is because it's a pain in the ass to navigate.
So I imagine maybe the compromise is like, hey, look, we'll do an origin story of a brand new 00 that's not Bond, whatever. It's not anyone you ever know. We're just going to create something. And here's our engine. Here's how Hitman runs. Here's how we're going to make it work. Maybe that was the pitch. That's something we're not seeing. You know, we're kind of like assuming it's going to be like the greatest hits, but maybe it's just like something completely original. You know, I don't know.
I also can't believe it. It's been 6 years between a Bond film.
Spectre. And, yeah, it's funny. I pointed this out to people and you mentioned it. Like this, Daniel Craig will have the longest tenure as James Bond, but he will end up with the
least amount of films?
Second most movies? Second most. Third most.
Behind Connery and Moore.
Yeah. And Moore, yeah. So, yeah, and it's funny because like Connery, I mean, back in Connery would put out one like every year for the first 3 or 4 years. Roger Moore put out, I think, something like 7 or 11 years or something like that. But yeah, he's going to be Bond by the time No Time to Die comes out. He would be Bond for 15 years. And this will be his fifth movie.
Were the Bond films the original like movie universe films?
Ooh.
They're kind of interconnected. Remember the evil organizations were kind of connected in the Sean Connery films, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but I feel like the Bond franchise is more what you would consider just a movie franchise where there's sequels. I think one of the things that has always been fascinating to me about the franchise is that they've tried, but they've never been able to actually get spinoffs because they wanted to do a spin-off with the Halle Berry character from Die Another Day. Thanks. And they wanted to do there's been several like kind of seeded spin-offs that they wanted to do and it's never got off the ground in any capacity. Like James Bond is James Bond. Yeah. If you would think that like on Her Majesty's Secret Service TV show, like the closest thing we got was this James Bond Jr. cartoon. Everything else has focused on James, so and it's always fascinating that they've not done more with the franchise in that regard. Because I'm excited for this. I can't wait for it. But yeah, just imagine if it was like you got to be an agent in MI6 who worked alongside Bond at times and said, because Bond is such a defined character
mm-hmm.
that I feel like it does take away, because you know who he is or who he's supposed to be. Like, you know, Daniel Craig is different than Roger Moore, who's different than Sean Connery. But the jux of it is he's still a womanizing, alcoholic super agent.
Yeah.
I actually really like Earl's idea of like being like a new lowly spy that is becoming a 00 and Bond mentors you. I think that would be amazing.
What if they do like a greatest hits thing where you're on someone's desk and there's files and each file is a different chapter of the Bond. So you have like Connery, Roger Moore, you know, all the different ones. You can have different eras to play around
with. That's kind of what they did with that bad game, right?
007 Legends, yeah. Because, it wasn't specifically each one of them, but yeah, it was like one of the stage would be, I think, from Russia with one would be on Her Majesty's Secret Service, one would be Moonraker. And it's like, we're going to take one, like, not even a climax, just like one huge set piece from each one. And again, it kind of, like, I think the idea is kind of novel, especially if you want to pull through and, going back, I guess, real quick, is I think they want to make an original story, which I actually think is probably for the best. And again, I think that has been beneficial to Bond in video games. You know, Everything or Nothing, Nightfire, Fire, they use a lot of fire. Were good stories because you didn't know what to expect, and you could pull in names and, you know, like, you still kind of get that. Where, like, if you're doing not all of these, like, okay, for instance, I don't think many of the Daniel Craig movies necessarily translate well to video games because his movies are a lot more story driven. Not necessarily saying they're great stories, but they're a lot more story driven than set driven, like a lot of, like, say, Roger Moore's, or I honestly, Pierce Brosnan's are a lot of really big set piece driven movies.
Yeah.
And that's why GoldenEye made such a good video game, because you have like the dam, you have the chase through St. Petersburg in the tank, you have the library, which, you know, leads into the chase, you have the train tracks, you have the flyover to Cuba, then you have the Cuba space, not space station, the satellite dish tower and stuff like that. So you had those different set pieces you can incorporate into a video game. Where, like, you get something like Casino Royale, nobody's going to sit there for two missions playing cards.
Jeff would.
Tony will.
Okay.
But that's it. No. You're not wrong. Like, I'm with you. Like, yes, get me to the action.
No, I love your idea. As long as you put a scene where, like, James Bond shows up in Aston Martin and you show up in an Uber. I'm down with that.
Also, the Aston Martin that's going to be in the new movie is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other news this week, Earl?
Yes, there was some other stuff real quick. What was I going? I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about it. We can talk about it more closer. The Game Awards announced their nominees for the 2020 Game of the Year. Well, Game Awards, which will air in December.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The Game of the Year nominees seemed
all over the place.
Yeah, but
I like that game.
Maybe right.
For the most part, it seems like the stuff that I would expect.
Yeah.
Hades is a fantastic game, for sure. But, like, comparing it, everything else is up for Game of the Year. I don't know. It's kind of all over the place for me. I don't know. You know?
I don't know. But I think it's great that it's getting recognition and it's getting put on the same.
Oh, yeah. It's a dope-ass game, dude. Everyone needs to play that game.
It's on my list to try before the end of the year.
Yeah, that was some shade I was throwing at you.
The other thing I would say, and this is more just me thinking out loud, it is funny though that, like, the Game of the Year is almost all focused on the first half of the year and not the second half of the year with two new consoles launching. You'd think we'd have a bit more. I mean, it's a pretty, how do I say this with that? It's a pretty standard end of the year because it's like Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Madden, but it wasn't any big like surprise this fall in any capacity. But yeah, anyhow, no. Kate Bishop is coming to Avengers, the game that nobody plays. Next.
Honestly, I forgot that game existed.
I'm buying that game. There's no way. I know it's going to drop to $10 really soon, but there's no way. It just doesn't look like a good game. I'm sorry.
Is there like an, like I have it for Xbox. Like, is there like a better version for the Series X? Like, I don't if think. I play it more, is it going to be better than it was?
I don't think the Series X and the PlayStation 5 version is out until next year.
Oh. But then never mind.
I don't think those games will be miracle workers either and make it any more appealing to you, Tony.
Well, the thing is, like, those games had huge budgets. They still sold huge.
Yeah.
So if they wanted to reinvest and make them actually good, they could.
That'd be out of Square's pocket, because right now Disney got paid. They sold rights, man. They're paid. They don't care how many it sold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They got their points up front.
Right, but as you said,
the person who took the biggest loss right now is Square.
Right, and Square has incentive to reinvest. Improve it, yeah.
Because it's supposed to be a live game, like where it continues on, and you know, if I think I'm the only one out of us that finished the campaign.
No, I did.
You did? Okay, so yeah. Both of us finished it, but we haven't gone back.
Yeah, that was it. I finished the campaign and I was done.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I read a comment online that kind of like, I think, centralized everyone's frustration with it, right? How the fuck did Fortnite get better likenesses than Square?
Oh, yes.
The characters on Fortnite,
not even close.
You don't look like, they're still cartoony, but they look so much, they look like the stuff we've been watching in movies for like 10 years. And the stuff in the Square game looks like a parody movie, you know?
Yeah. It looks like, as people tend to say, it kind of looks like the store brand Avengers. Like, this is the stuff where it's the like... the big W or whatever you want to call it.
What's that fake Dr. Pepper? That one always cracks me up, the fake Dr. Pepper
Oh, yes. Brand.
Mr. Pibbs.
Cheerwine.
Is it? It's not Mr. Pibbs. Hold on. I gotta look.
There's a Dr. Thunder. there's a few Dr. Pepper ripoffs. But yes, it is. It's very much so. It is so sad. Especially being like, there's a lot of people who were excited the fact that Kamaya was the main character, which actually didn't earn until the reviews came out. So,
you guys want to hear all the store brand versions of Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
Dr. K, Kroger, Dr. Kroger, Dr. Reef, Rifko, Dr. Smooth, Dr. Wells, Dr. Becker Blue Sky, Dr. Perfect, Dr. Thirst, and Dr. Check. That's the Winn-Dixie brand.
Oh, God. I'm calling myself Dr. Smooth from now on. That's happening.
And overseas, there's a Mr. Pig. That's the overseas version of Dr. Pepper. Mr. Pig.
Mr. Pig?
Mr. Pig.
I know Mr. Pibbs is one here.
Yeah, so in the overseas is Mr. Pig. Mr. Pig, and on the can there's a logo of a cow.
They don't even
Oh wow.
Anyway.
Oh, I'm gonna spend the rest of the night looking at this.
Earl, any other news?
Just real quick, Super Mario 3D All-Stars was updated in version controllers and Sunshine, but you also added GameCube support for Sunshine, which might the game. It's still Sunshine, so still Sunshine, but it might make it a bit more playable for some people. It's still Sunshine, so, you know, it is what it is. Animal Crossing new update.
Did they tweak Galaxy at all? Because you know my issues with Galaxy.
I don't think they tweaked Galaxy at all. Speaking of Marvel, Venom is a costume in Fortnite. You can purchase that. They also have Black Widow, who does not look great because she's wearing the winter suit from the movie. Clearly, this was time for the movie that's not coming out until next May now. So,
Is Venom's axe do they just like have him morph his hand?
It's like Carnage, yeah.
Yeah.
I realized I fell out of nerds when people were pointing out, like, Venom doesn't do his hand that way. That's Carnage. I'm like, okay. Like, they weren't angry. It's just like, really funny. Like, no. Venom does not have a baited hand.
Yeah. Like, it's okay. Fine. Like, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's just really funny. And I guess also, speaking of Fortnite, I don't know who would ever use this or why, but Fortnite has added the ability to do video chat via House Party. I don't know if any of you know what House Party is.
Epic's Zoom.
Yeah, it's
Facebook Zoom, I think.
Is it Facebook's? I thought it was owned by Epic, actually.
Oh, I have no idea who it's owned by. I know it was a Facebook thing because, like, it was one of those things that started in a year and you could play games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then I guess I just had a piece of news in my head. Oh, yes. Monster Hunter movie is, other movie news came out, but Monster Hunter movie is not coming out December 25th in theaters because.
Just because?
Why not?
Let's kill people
on Christmas. Let's do it.
We're going to go up against Wonder Woman, which is at least enticing me to stay home and watch it.
Yes. WB just needs to get on the 4K support now. Like, I was fine with them not having 4K support, but now you're putting my girl up on the my Yoda screen, I'm going to have to see her in the best possible picture.
Just to circle back, House Party is developed by a company called Life on Air, who are a subsidiary of Epic Games. So.
Okay. So I guess this is their way of... And again, I mean, I get... Like I said, I don't know who would use it, but I'm also like, oh, when I play video games with certain friends during this quarantine, we'll hop on video chat just to kind of see and talk. Because again, I've said it before, video games, movies, or whatever, just a means to an end in communicating during quarantine. Yeah. Or I don't know what we call this after 8 months. The way of life, I guess.
Well, you gotta also think a lot of grade school kids. Zoom school has been their life. That's how they socialize. Yeah. Like, I have a friend who's like, whose kid developed a crush on one of her classmates, you know, on Zoom, and wanted to get her, like, she had like a poster of like that a K-pop band. And he went shopping for her and all this stuff, but then he was scared. He didn't know how to ask the teacher for like a mailing address. That's a freaking nightmare to grow up a kid and have that on you. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna be damages from this year and this precedent that we won't know for generations to come. Honestly, I talk to people now, and I'm just like, there's a lot of people you talk to, and you just kind of realize how much stress and trauma that this president has caused, and then you compound it with the fact that a lot of people have been stuck home. Like you were saying before we started, like there are days you don't necessarily talk to another human being, or you don't talk to anybody outside of your home for days, if not weeks on end. I mean, I've not left my house for a long period of time in like 2 weeks.
Well, in my case, that's a choice, because I'm an extreme introvert. This is why deploying in the military wasn't a thing for me. You know what I mean? It was like, all right, guys, we're gonna be out in the sticks for months, and we're not gonna see human contact. I was like, hey, that sounds pretty good. You know what I mean? Aside from pooping in the middle of nowhere and digging a hole for it, you know, it didn't bother me. You know, when I got back, I had to like force myself to adjust. I had to get used to traffic all over again. You know what I mean? But yeah,
we're all going to need to get used to traffic again.
Commuting again. It's going to be weird. Like, how many of us like have gone to a store and the person's standing a little too close, and you're like, "What the fuck?"
Oh my gosh!
Back up!
It is so weird how people have no sense of distance anymore.
Like, have a mask. Look, I had this shit. I think I'm the only one who had it in our group, right? I'm the only one who actually had the virus.
Yeah. Well, we think Jeff had it originally, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jeff didn't give it to me, hopefully. But yeah, dude, like when people get near me now, when I go shopping, I hold my breath even though I'm wearing a mask. You know, it's just like until they get out of my, because they're reaching to get something. I was like, damn, fuck, you couldn't wait for me to leave, dude? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's, man, I don't know how I'm going to bounce back, because I'm like, I'm kind of used to like just being away from people now.
Well, the number of funny looks I'll get like at the grocery store because somebody will be like standing, like looking through the shelf where I need something, and I will plant myself 6 feet away, just stand there and wait for them to be done. And like, what are you doing, dude? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, you moron.
Yeah, I had some lady go, do you need to get in here? I'm like, go ahead. Like, I'll wait. Like, yes. Finish up. Like,
yeah.
Don't block the entire up, but yeah, I'm going to stand over here a while.
Like, I get upset.
I'll stand here until you're gone.
I get upset at my parents. They do their shopping, and they're like, oh, I really need this. I was like, you got to give me some heads up, because I like to do curbside pickup. I order an apps and I go pick up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but when I have to walk into there, I know I'm going to come out upset. Something's going to upset. Man, look, I grew up here, right? I was raised in South Florida. But if I see one more person use their fucking face mask to blow their nose, Jesus, I'm gonna be in the news because I punched somebody in the face.
Did you guys see the pic of the video of Rudy Giuliani? Like sneezing and then using the same thing to like wipe all of his face and his forehead. It was
yes.
How that man is still alive at his age, I have no idea.
Well, the pics tonight, if you should look at the pics tonight, he's melting. His hair dye melted into his face.
I
saw that too.
I mean, I look at him and I look at Trump and I'm just like, no wonder people hate New York. Like, this is what we're putting out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, dude. What a strange, like honestly, thank God for video games, because you know, just playing Apex on a regular basis with Tony, like it's therapy. You know what I mean? It's definitely saved me money, because I'm not buying all the Lego sets I keep putting in my carts. You know,
that's fair.
You should get those Lego sets.
Or like, you know, what was that number you dropped the other day, Chris? You did a tally of how many, the value of all the games you bought?
Oh, right.
It's like $20,000.
I was like, what the and I believed it too, but we buy them at discount. We're smart, right? We don't drop $60 every 2 days, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, like we looked into it, and it's what the launch price would be.
Yeah.
If you bought all of them at launch, and I mean, I buy a lot of games at launch, but not $20,000 worth.
I'm selective at launch. I really am now. And like, even though I like it, it's one of those weird things. Like, I can afford it. I just don't have the time. So that makes me more selective, you know?
Yep.
But like, dude, that number, I was like, no, that's 100% believable. Like, this hobby's expensive, dude.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Which is why, again, you know, like, if one of the reasons, like, I want to get Miles Morales. But I'm also like, oh, you know, I Target is having this buy two, get one free sale. I wanted to do that. Or I'll wait until it's like $30.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, there's stuff like I'm saying Age of Calamity right now that I pay full price for. But full price comes with a huge misnomer because I get my Nintendo eShop points at minimum, usually 10% off. And then you add in the fact that you get 5% back for buying digital games. So most of the games I end up buying on here is like $45. And then you also add in the fact that Nintendo doesn't drop their prices on games, so
yeah, which is why I'm excited for that Black Friday $30 for Link's Awakening. I'm just excited as hell.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not even sure if I want to pay it. I'm just like, it's a Nintendo game for $30. I just want to be part of history.
I like the art style in it.
Yeah.
One other piece of news, Star Wars Squadrons, which they had said wasn't getting any post-game support, is getting two new ships, the TIE Defender and the B-Wing Bomber, and it's also getting a new map. So
yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Maybe go play some more of that.
Yeah. And if you have Game Pass, you can play it for 10 hours with us. So
yeah.
Go download it. Play some spaceships with us. Pew pew.
Spaceship. I might do that because I'm kind of curious.
There's some long matches though, man. Those matches.
It's like 30 minutes for a match.
Yeah, if you do that's the fleet battles, yeah.
That's the only Xbox Live party we've put together where there's just long moments of silence because we're all focusing so damn hard. Trying to dogfight and take out the enemy ships and stuff, And to the point where like half of it is like, you guys still there?
Yeah. Fun game though. So go give that a try.
And actually it's dropping to $20 Black Friday. If you actually want to just go ahead and purchase it.
Yeah, I think
it's going to be in the 15 range by the end, by January.
Walmart is going to have it for $17 on Black Friday.
Damn, already. Wow.
That's always the issue with like the end of the year, especially. I think we've had this. Is that like, I always think you're a fool if you buy games at the end. Because like, everything is going to be like half off, if not more, come Black Friday. It's like, it's that you're buying that, you're paying that FOMO tax. You're paying it because you want to be the first person that game's not even that old. What is it? End of September or October?
End of September. Yeah. It launched at 40. It was a budget game to start with. Yeah. So.
But still, like you get like one of the games, like not necessarily that I wanted, but like I get like the little hope the game for the people who made what was that called? Until Dawn. They had that anthology series. And I bought it for I think it's $30 when it launched. And even before it came out, Black Friday deals came out. It's going to be $20. I'm like, why would I buy that launch? Like, it makes no sense. I could save $10 just waiting 3 weeks.
Well, look at other games we bought. We thought we were going to get into at a discount. I think we got Division 2 for $20, right? I think that was that's how we jumped on board.
Yeah,
$20. It's going to be a $10 Black Friday game.
Yeah,
you know.
I think it was Odyssey. $8 like 2 weeks after we bought it for 22.
Yeah. And then Odyssey, I picked it up for $25 for the game of the year with everything, or the season pass, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to drop to like $9 for that same version, you know, over the holiday.
Or even Legion, I think is already 20, $30?
It's what? $40 already. Legion's $40 already. Right now, you can get it on the Xbox Live Black Friday sale for $40. Yep.
And I think it will be $30 on Black Friday physically.
Yeah.
Yep. And hey, since we are occasionally playing that World War Z game, the Marseille episode is on sale.
Oh. We might want to do that.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was DLC.
Yeah, me and Tony spent one night and we cleared out our achievements. So I might pick that up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Can you get all the achievements in one night?
No, but we were just really close on a bunch of them.
Yeah, for the chapters. Because, you know, it scales. The more people you have, the bigger the waves.
Yeah.
So me and him
became very manageable. We right through them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that map, though, is normally $15, and it's down to $9.
Oh, I might pick that up.
And like those things are meaty. There's about an hour and a half for each one.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's so improved. We played it at launch, and it was like, "What the fuck is this?" And now that game is really fun. It runs so well. I haven't run it in a Series X, but it ran really, really well on the One X, or the Xbox One. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yep. So, the Xbox Live Black Friday sale is live. If you have gold, go buy some new games, I guess.
78 titles in there.
We'll be back next week. We got to work out when we're going to record, I guess, but we'll be back for you to listen to. Hopefully you will not be going out and buying shit next week, but
don't go,
hopefully you're not going out in general.
You shouldn't be. No. CDC said don't travel. You should not be going to stores to buy shit for Black Friday.
The worst people are going to be at stores. Don't do that to yourself. Yeah. The risk of cars being broken in, not just getting infected with something, it's going to be pretty bad this year.
Yeah, just stay home, buy your shit online, and you know, try and buy a PS5 and just have it fail on you over and over again.
You should record the podcast with you trying to buy it on Wednesday night in real time.
So yeah, still didn't go through.
It crashed. Shit.
The other thing I would recommend, which is really dumb, is like a lot of people like to buy TVs during this time of the year. It's like research the TV you want ahead of time and not just buy one that's cheap. Like, you want to know what you actually want to get into. So a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm just going to buy a TV, and this is like $20. And it's like, yeah, there's a reason it's that cheap, probably.
I spent a month researching TVs for this next gen. Everything that was like at the affordable range that they're pushing right now, 300, 400, 500, you know, 43 inch, blah, blah, blah. None of that. The only thing that's compatible is that it does 4K for this gen. Like, they're not compatible HDMI 2.1. They don't do HDR, Dolby Vision. They won't even, they simulate 120, and you're lucky if you get 60 hertz at the price range that they're pushing them out right now.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, like you were mentioning HDMI 2.1, which is something you really have to pay attention to see what type of ones they have. If they, like, you can get TVs that have like one HDMI side, and that will just be a pain in the ass, especially for these systems that really do not play well with others.
And don't think you can just swap out HDMIs too on these consoles. Use the ones that came in a box if you actually want like the real performance on a TV. You're gonna spend upwards of a $2,000-$4,000 to get it to be able to do 120 hertz, et cetera, et cetera. You know.
Yep.
Yeah, I will say that. In theory, I think you should always use the wires that come with devices. It's the same thing that my mom always goes through, and she tries to buy, she buys a cheap charger. She always gets them broken, and she always complains that her chargers aren't working. I'm like, could you buy these knockoffs at the 99 cents or like the 5 for y'all or something, like that? And I'm like, I'm always afraid to bust up her phone.
Well, yep. So come back next week. We'll have more stuff for you. Earl, say goodnight.
Farewell. Until we meet again, good night.